Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hawk Time Podcast. I'm Nick.
I'm Adam.
And today, our guest is Adam.
Yeah, and it's going to be a little change of pace. As usually, I'm co-hosting with Nick, but today I'm going to be interviewed.
Yeah, that's great. Finally gets you some more airtime, you feel?
Of course, I'm excited. Glad to be here.
So what you here to talk about?
I'm here to talk about who I think possible GOP candidates will be for the next election. And this isn't necessarily like, it's like these are predictions. It's not necessarily who I want. It's not necessarily who I think will be the big guy or girl up against the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just going to be a list of people that I think are qualified for it. And depending on if they can get enough votes, enough delegates, I really think they could be in the running.
All right. So obviously the Republican Party has been in a bit of limbo at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of went all in on the Trump train, and that is seems to be coming to an end. Mm-hmm. So obviously, what are you looking for in a candidate if you're looking to kind of restart the party back under the true kind of Republican idea?
So the biggest thing is that no candidate has lost re-election in like 30 years. And so when you put so much emphasis on one guy and then the head of the beast is taken off, the body falls with it. And so they really need someone like centralized who can like lead the party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing a lot of people talk about, I see a lot of things on the internet, like to quote, the days of John McCain and Romney are over. They need big, fierce people that's not afraid to talk bad about people. And I kind of think that's the opposite, in my opinion. I think while I've got some people on my list that are straight government to like senators to possible presidents, I've also got some people that are like popular speakers and other people. But I just think that we can't always just pump out, because I think we can't just be pumping out candidates that are going to like fight people.
Yeah.
Because I feel that's part of the reason why he didn't win re-election as much. Yeah. I think 50,000 people in Georgia, the difference could have been if he would have stopped tweeting. Now, at the same time, that also might rile people up and to be on his side. Yeah. But I really think that if he was more, you know, disciplined on, like, some of the stuff he said, it's not even, like, I think some of the states that were a toss-up, he lost not even because of his policies or because he was Republican, but maybe because he wasn't the
ideal character
for the Republican Party. Yeah.
I think it's definitely it's a model for short-term success, but as we've seen, long-term success can tend to be a bit weaker with this idea of you got to attack and bully your way to the top. It's not that type of era anymore. That idea with politics rarely works out long-term, and I think we're kind of starting to see that. So, obviously, you talked about McCain, Romney. Those are Republicans, or one who was unfortunately passed, who were well-respected and known for their ability to work across the aisle with anyone and everyone and crank a bill out and get it done. So, when you have characters such as that, do you have this kind of list you've put together of potential candidates? Is there anybody on this list who fits that description?
I've got a list of a bit of both. I've got people that I genuinely think are just going to be pushed through by the GOP, and some people that can really bridge the gap. Like, I saw a video of John McCain congratulating Obama, and then people were, like, booing while he was doing that. He, like, stopped his speech, and then he, like, addressed the fact that, like, Obama was the president and that, or the president-elect, and that they needed to respect him the same way that they would have respected him, John McCain. And so I felt like that was really, like, touching to see that even, like, in a moment of defeat, he was able to reach across the aisle and say, like, congratulations, Obama, you won this election. And there's a few people that I have on a list sort of like that. Starting off, I've got Governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem.
Okay.
She actually spoke at the RNC, and she gave a good speech, and a lot of people, she's young, and a lot of people are, like, pushing her on to kind of do the next big thing, because she was a House of Representatives member, I believe. She was at least at the state level, and then she's been the governor of South Dakota, and she's done a great job there. And it would be a really good way to kind of like bridge the gap, because she's known for like bridging that gap in South Dakota, because South Dakota isn't as exactly red and blue as some might think.
And even like politically, she can bridge the gap, but also like between the generations, being younger, something that a lot of the younger generation that's kind of led them to lean more to the left and to the Democratic Party. So they feel that a lot of times the Republican Party is just a bunch of old white guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of that stereotype. Oh, you're an old white guy, you're probably Republican. And even voting trends, generally older white males do vote Republican. So there's some merit to it. But having a face that is younger, is a female, hopefully can try to, you know, pull some of those young votes away from the Democratic Party, because the young vote sticks with the left, as they have. Republican Party is in for a long, long couple years. So I think it's definitely important for the progress of the party. They bring in younger people who may not be cut and dry like old school Republicans, but they may have they may be more willing to reach across the aisle.
Of course, yeah.
Who are some other notable names you have on there?
A notable name I've got right at the top of the list, because I genuinely think this is a possibility, is I do believe that the GOP is going to do everything they can to get Tucker Carlson on that nominee. I really do think, like, would he be the ideal president? Maybe not, depending on, like, what his beliefs were. I'm not exactly sure. Past just standard Republican beliefs, like, what he feels on certain issues. But whether you support him or not, I genuinely think that he's probably up there, in all honesty.
Whether it be for experience or not, he's a big name. And when you've been, you know, what is it, six of the past, well, now with Joe Biden, if Joe Biden is confirmed as president and all goes well, what is it, seven of the last eight popular vote winners have all been Democrats now. So you got to have somebody with a face. Only thing with Tucker Carlson, he hasn't exactly been the most reliable, and he's upset even some Republicans.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be your best
option
if you're looking to pull more votes.
Pull more votes,
because everybody was talking how, you know, Trump still pulled 70 million. And that's great, like the voter out, like the turnout that we saw. But at the same time, I got to take it with a grain of salt, because this was a higher turnout election.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a blowout 70 million showed up. He definitely... He still lost by 4 million, which is a pretty wide
gap.
Pretty
big number, yeah.
So 70 million is wonderful turnout. 74 million for Biden is wonderful turnout. But obviously, just sheer numbers isn't going to work. You have to pull away from the Democratic Party if you're going to want to make headway as the Republicans. And I don't know if Tucker Carlson's that guy. Who are some other ideas that you have?
So going right into where, you know, I was kind of talking about, like, candidates that may take the more traditional
senatorial
representative line. I've got Nikki Haley, who is the UN ambassador in the United States.
And she had a couple clashes with Trump, didn't she? So that would probably appeal to some of the Republicans that left.
I also believe she was governor of South Carolina. I'm pretty sure she was.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
And I think she was the first, like, Indian American governor. And another thing, like, another person that I have would be Rand Paul, a senator. I feel like he's just up there. He's a notable name.
Yeah, he's a big name.
It's at my age, it's difficult to think who was in the 2012 election past Romney. Like, what were some other people? Like, what qualifies it? Because just Donald Trump came in and just wiped out as the non-government guy.
Yeah.
That came in. But so, like, if 2012 is just the whole slate of senators battling each other, then, yeah, I think Rand Paul would be up there. And also Nebraskan Senator Ben Sasse.
Don't know too much about him.
He's gained a lot of, like, notoriety over the last few months. I think one thing that he'll appeal to the voters, whether or not this was a whether or not this is a big enough issue, but he was one of two Republican senators that was openly against, like, scrapping the idea of Columbus Day, him and Susan Collins of Maine, and that helped him get a lot of, you know, appeal and a lot of approval from people in his own state.
Yeah.
And I feel like he'd be a pretty, you know, moderate, not too right-leaning, not too left-leaning person.
That's what you need, because Republican Party doesn't exactly need to bolster their numbers among their own supporters. Again, it's back to that. You've got to figure out a way to draw these, you know, what is it, like 38% of all people who vote are unaffiliated with either party.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to draw some of those numbers, you know, people like me, et cetera, who don't affiliate with a party and go off of who the best candidate at the time is.
Mm-hmm. And so now shifting gears, technically, like, in my eyes, Biden, he's, like, the go-to president-elect, but I understand there's still, like, things going on, and there's still people. Like, Mitch McConnell said that he's got every right to, like, add, like, have the law come in and stuff. But so this is basically just saying, if Donald Trump does not win his lawsuits and becomes the next president, like, stays as president, I've got a Mike Pompeo is a shout, the Secretary of State. He was a representative from Kansas, and he was close with Trump, and I assume he'd lose his job if Trump does as well. And also going off that, I've got I don't know how far away Mike Pence is from a presidential race. I mean, because he was governor of Indiana for 2 terms.
Mm-hmm.
His brother won his congressional seat, and he was already the vice president. I mean, Nixon was the vice president and then was elected president.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, you can, like, whether or not you agree with him, I think he's honestly got, like, the closest track to being.
The only thing with him, just kind of in general, is unlike something that kind of made this, like, Trump presidency unique, it was much more the Trump show.
Mm-hmm.
Whether for good or bad, just I'm not saying anything about it, just kind of what it was. It kind of put Mike Pence kind of more in the background.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few moments we'd be like, we haven't seen Pence in a couple months.
Yeah.
Where he'd kind of be off doing his thing. It's not exactly like Biden or Nixon where you saw what they were doing and they were continually, you know, making themselves known. Mike Pence was very happy, kind of lurking in the shadows of the office.
Will he step up to it if he's needed?
Or, you know, do enough people know about him other than just the hardcore Trump supporters?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, seeing what he's done. Because for the same reason people attacked Biden, you know, back then you did this and your vice presidential administration, you guys didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the same argument with him. If he says he's going to do something to try to pull, you know, more left voters away from the Democratic Party, there's always the counter of, well, why didn't you do that before? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you? You had that chance. So it's kind of that same idea. I'm not completely ruling him out. I think that could be a potential. But he also kind of sat more in the shadows than normal as a vice president, so that could be a bit of a deterrent.
Mm-hmm. And my last one before we conclude things, and I think that this is obvious, that if he loses re-election officially and Biden becomes a president, there's no way that in Donald Trump's eyes he's going to get, like, beat up and cheated out of a presidency and not run again.
Yeah.
I really think he might run for 2024.
He'll be back. Question is, does he win the nomination again?
Yeah. Do they give him that
if they see
chance,
the
or third chance, I guess.
Him failing to get reelected, that it's always put possible that the rest of the Republican Party wants somebody else who has a better chance.
Yeah.
Just kind of in general then, after listening to these candidates, just want your thoughts. That's just something I've been thinking. You have, obviously, the Democratic Party, but when you look at the Democratic Party, Joe Biden seems to be Joe Biden and maybe Pete, Mayor Pete. Those are the last two that seem willing to work across the aisle and aren't far out to the left.
And Yang, probably.
And Yang.
I like Yang a lot.
Yang is also kind of fallen more to the background.
Yeah.
I think main two, you have, obviously, Joe Biden. He's big on, I'm everyone's president, I will continue to work. He's even thinking about adding a couple Republicans to his cabinet.
Yeah.
And then you have Mayor Pete, who somehow, as a Democrat and an openly gay man, is getting applauded whenever he goes on Fox News.
Yeah.
Don't know how that happens, but more power to him. But past that, you know, you have your AOC, your Kamala Harris, your Bernie, Warren, these people who are very much off to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And for people like me, in the middle, kind of stuck between, that's kind of a push away from the Democratic Party that may help the Republicans long term.
Yeah.
I don't agree with much that is way off here over in the middle of, you know, liberal land.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I was a open supporter of Joe Biden. I was not a fan of Trump, but I think with the Democrat Party moving more and more progressive and more left, I think that leaves a gap for the Republican Party.
Yeah.
If they want to bring somebody who's more moderate and in the middle, if they want to come back and try to snag some of those middle mm-hmm. voters who are turned off by this far left movement.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a opportunity the Republican Party can kind of reenact what the Democrats did this year? People move away from the candidate, and they're able to pick up voters in different areas?
Yeah, I would say so. But the other thing is, there's a reason why people like Clinton and Biden won the nomination, was because there's a lot of people that don't live in like places like New York or LA yeah. that you see as more conservative. And even though there's a big spread of delegates there to be won, I genuinely don't think, my honest opinion, if this is wrong, this one's on me, but I can't see, at least in 2024, like a big name liberal mm-hmm. taking it. It'd be a miracle for either. A big name liberal to take the nomination, because there's so many people that are kind of like, almost you could say, freaked out by like what they're saying when they're just on that other side of maybe the spectrum that makes a difference between Biden or Trump, like Democrat or Republican, and they're like scared.
Yeah.
Of those people almost.
There's something that we won't know until 2024 is whether the huge record turnout for Joe Biden was a pro-Biden turnout or an anti-Trump.
Yeah.
And we'll see that in 2024. But if you're the Democrat Party, you kind of play it safe, because if it did turn out to just be a bunch of anti-Trump votes, I know, for example, my mother, she was one. She voted for Trump 2016. And within a year of his presidency,
mm-hmm.
you know, she voted full Democrat.
Yeah.
She grew up in the middle of rural South, you know, tiny town. So mm-hmm. when you have people like that who are voting full Democrat down the ballot,
she might not be Democrat next time around.
Exactly.
It's not Trump.
You know, you have to hedge your bets. Be careful. If you don't want to go and end up losing all your momentum you've gained by losing voters to a moderate Republican.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for coming on.
It's been awesome. Glad to come on and
this has
be on the other side of the microphone.
Uh-huh. This has been an interesting topic we've touched on the past couple episodes to really get thorough with it. This episode works well. Got you some more airtime. Got to get some ideas flowing. And I think it went well. So, from me, from my tech crew, from Adam, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at The Hawk Time Podcast and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube at The Hawk Time Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later.